Good morning. My name is Michael Hickox. I'm an evangelist with the Olney Church of Christ. We are a group of Christians who meet here in Olney at 220 North Van Street. We meet at 9:30 on Sunday mornings for Bible study, 10:20 on Sunday mornings for worship, 2 p.m. on Sunday afternoons for worship, and 7 p.m. on Wednesday evenings for Bible study. We welcome visitors. If you would like to join us as we assemble together to worship God and to study from His Word, we also offer in-home Bible studies. If you would be interested in studying from the inspired Word of God to learn more about Him and His will for us, we would be happy to study with you. You can contact us at 217-218-0803. You can also contact us and learn more about us through our website, which is olneychurchofchrist.org. The website, again, is olneychurchofchrist.org. And the number is 217-218-0803. This morning in our program, we're going to look at some attitudes that hinder repentance. God gives us instruction in His Word for what we must do to receive forgiveness of any sin that we commit. He gives specific instructions to those who are not yet Christians concerning what is needed in order to get into Christ, in order to be forgiven of sins. And He also gives instruction in His Word to those who are Christians and have sinned after becoming a Christian concerning what we must do to receive forgiveness of any specific sin that we have committed. One consistency, whether we're talking about someone who is already a Christian and has sinned after becoming a Christian, or someone who is not yet a Christian, one word of instruction that God would give in either situation is repent. When we talk about repentance, we are talking about turning in the opposite direction. Repentance is a word in the broadest sense that can refer to turning in the opposite direction of anything. We might be headed straight south and we turn around and head straight north. But when God commands us in His Word to repent, He is referring to the fact that we need to turn in the opposite direction of sin. And there are many different attitudes that can hinder us from repenting of sin as God would have us to. We will look at seven specific attitudes that hinder repentance here this morning, and notice what Scripture teaches in response to each of these attitudes. And so, for instance, one attitude that can hinder repentance is that of seeking to sweep sin under the rug. And I think you'll see what's meant by this as we consider a couple of passages of Scripture. If you turn to 2 Samuel chapter 11, 2 Samuel chapter 11. I'll be reading from the King James Version this morning, unless otherwise stated. Here in 2 Samuel chapter 11, we read about some actions of King David. Now, David is a man who who was described as a man after God's own heart. He did a lot of wonderful things for the Lord. But here in 2 Samuel chapter 11, he did a number of despicable things. We see at the beginning of the chapter that he committed adultery, knowing that Bathsheba, the woman he committed adultery with, was the wife of Uriah the Hittite. After he committed adultery with her, we see that she became pregnant, and instead of doing what was needful to make things right and move forward, we see that David tried to hide his sin. He did a number of things to try to cover up what he had done, thinking no one will be able to find out that I have committed this sin. And notice as you get to verse 27 of 2 Samuel chapter 11, the last sentence of the last verse of this chapter is really key for us to understand. There, about halfway through verse 27 of 2 Samuel 11, it says, "But the thing that David had done displeased the Lord." David may have been successful, quote unquote, at hiding, at least temporarily, his sins from his fellow man. But nothing was ever hidden from God. God knew throughout this chapter exactly what David was doing, what he was saying, what he was thinking. And so as he tried to sweep his sin under the rug, trying to cover it up and make it seem like he'd done nothing wrong, what he was doing was really just digging himself a deeper and deeper hole. God knows when we've sinned. There is no such thing as a sin that no one knows about. Notice what is said over in Hebrews chapter 4. In Hebrews chapter 4 and in verse 13, and I'll read from the World English Bible translation for this particular verse. Hebrews chapter 4 and in verse 13 says, "There is no creature that is hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and laid open before the eyes of him to whom we must give an account." The one who we must give an account to knows everything we do, everything we say, everything we think. There is no such thing as a sin that no one knows about, because God knows all. And so trying to avoid repentance by sweeping sin under the rug is going to lead us, like David, to just dig ourselves a deeper and deeper hole. This is an attitude that we must avoid and instead simply repent of sin that is in our lives. But another attitude that can hinder repentance is minimizing sin's severity. And we also see something taught that relates to this there in that account in 2 Samuel. If you look back at 2 Samuel chapter 12 this time, 2 Samuel chapter 12, notice what is said here in verse 13 of this chapter. David here has finally been convicted that he has done wrong, and we'll see what led to that more in just a moment. But notice in 2 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 13, what he says as he acknowledges his wrong. Says, "And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord." David had treated Uriah despicably. He had treated Bathsheba despicably. He had done harm to other people. And yet, first and foremost, David sinned against the Lord. Now, one thing that this statement brings out for us and helps us to understand is just how serious our sin is. No matter how despicably we treat somebody else, when we sin, we treat God even worse. Our sin separates us from God. It creates a barrier between us and God. It is a gross mistreatment of God. And so minimizing sin severity is another attitude that we must avoid. But another attitude that hinders repentance that we need to avoid is focusing only on sins of others. It's very easy to see the faults in someone else's life before we look to the faults in our own lives. And Scripture has a lot to say in warning about this attitude. But notice once again there in 2 Samuel chapter 12, something that is said that should cause us to realize the need to be careful that we look for sin in our own lives before we look for sins in the lives of others. There in 2 Samuel chapter 12, what led David to finally acknowledge that he had sinned against God was a man named Nathan, who was a prophet, was sent by God to tell David a story that symbolized his treatment of Uriah. In this story, Nathan tells David about a man who was very wealthy. He had lots of flocks and herds, and he had a poor neighbor who had just one little ewe lamb who was so near and dear to him, it was as his own daughter. And when there was a traveler coming through who the rich man was charged with feeding, instead of taking one of his own flocks and herds, this rich man took his poor neighbor's little ewe lamb and killed it and used it for food for this traveler. Now notice in verse 5 what David's reaction is when he hears this story, not yet realizing who this story is intended to symbolize. 2 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 5 says, David's anger was greatly kindled against the man, and he said to Nathan, "As the Lord liveth, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die." Notice David's reaction there to this sin. He acknowledged that the man who did this was in error. He was angry at the man who did this thing. Now notice Nathan's response to David as you look at verse 7 of 2 Samuel 12. Nathan said to David, "Thou art the man." You are the man, David. You are the very person this story was told to symbolize. This man who you are angered at is representative of yourself and how you have treated Uriah and how he had treated Bathsheba and how he had treated God. And so as we think about this account, it helps us to see the need for us to look first for the sin in our own lives. There were a number of rebukes given by Jesus to Jewish leaders in the first century who were so quick to see the speck in somebody else's eye, but so slow to see the beam in their own eyes. And we might be tempted to look at those Jewish leaders and think, well, they just completely rejected Jesus. I'm not like them. But notice here, even a man like David, a man after God's own heart, even he struggled with this, seeing the sins in others before seeing sins in his own life. This is an attitude that hinders repentance and one that we must avoid if we are going to turn from sin as God demands. But a fourth attitude that hinders repentance that we want to consider here this morning is attacking the messenger. And what we mean by this is that sometimes individuals, when sin in their lives is pointed out, instead of acknowledging that sin, instead of being thankful that someone has helped them to see sin in their lives, sometimes individuals will instead become angry at the person who is delivering the message of God's truth instead of focusing on the content of his message and thus obeying what God demands of us. Notice over in Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. And in verse 16, here in this chapter, the Apostle Paul had been addressing really throughout this letter some error among the churches of Galatia. And he asked a question here in Galatians 4:16 that demonstrates the reaction that so many tend to have toward hearing the truth. He asked, "Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth?" If we think about a situation where we are driving down a dead-end road, perhaps we've never been down that road before, and we are not aware of the fact that it leads to a dead end. If someone was to tell us, "You're going down a dead-end road," and he or she encourages us to turn around and go in the opposite direction when we have the chance, we would probably thank that person and then look for a chance to turn around. And yet, so often, when individuals are headed down a spiritual dead-end road, anyone who tries to point that out to him or her and help him or her see the truth of God's word is attacked, is resented, instead of being thankful for the message and then looking for an opportunity to turn around. This is something that we need to avoid in our lives. We need to make sure that if someone is kind enough to point out to us something that is part of the truth of God's will for our lives, that instead of being angry at that, we should be thankful that we have had God's truth pointed out to us and then seek to make the correction that God desires of us. This is another key attitude that can lead us to either repent or fail to repent, depending upon which side of that we fall on. But a fifth attitude that hinders repentance that we want to consider here this morning is being too proud to admit when we are wrong. Notice what is said over in John chapter 7. In John chapter 7, we'll look at verses 47 through 49. John chapter 7, verses 47 through 49. Here in this chapter, the Pharisees have sent out officers to arrest Jesus, and the officers come back empty-handed, and they indicated that the reason was never had anyone spoken like Jesus spoke, there in verse 46. But notice the Pharisees' response to this in verses 47 through 49 of John chapter 7. It says, "The Pharisees therefore answered them, 'You aren't also led astray, are you? Have any of the rulers believed in him or of the Pharisees, but this multitude that doesn't know the law is accursed?'" And that was the World English Bible translation. So notice there that the Pharisees' reaction to Jesus was not to look at what God taught in the law that they claimed to know so well. It was not to compare Jesus' words and works with what was said in the Old Testament scriptures that they had access to, but rather their standard of right and wrong was to look at each other, the Pharisees and the rulers. What do we believe? What is our stance on this? That was the question that these Pharisees were asking. And there's a number of things to consider with this, but one thing that's brought out here is just how proud these Pharisees were. Notice how they viewed those individuals who accepted Jesus. They say, these people who don't know the law, they're accursed. They viewed these individuals who accepted Jesus as being beneath them. But their view was, we Jewish leaders, we know what's best, and we're in agreement that Jesus is not who he claims to be. This is a demonstration of their great pride, and it was in many ways the pride of the Jewish leaders that hindered them from accepting Jesus and thus repenting in the way that God desired. And it is a problem that can hinder us from repenting as well, being too proud to admit when we are wrong. But as we move into a sixth point, a sixth attitude that hinders repentance, and that is not caring about the right things, it's interesting to think about these Pharisees and the question that they asked here in John chapter 7 and verse 48. The implication is that they believed none of the Jewish leaders had accepted Jesus. And the truth is, there actually were some Jewish leaders who accepted Jesus. We see this early on in the book of John when Nicodemus went to Jesus and said, "We know you are a teacher come from God." And so there were some of the Jewish leaders who did accept Christ, but perhaps the reason that so many of them failed to confess this to the Pharisees was because they were fearful of men over fearing God. Notice over in John the 12th chapter. In John the 12th chapter, verses 42 and 43. John chapter 12, verses 42 and 43 says, "Nevertheless, among the chief rulers, also many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue." Now notice verse 43, please. "For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God." These Jewish leaders fell into the trap that so many fall into. And we can be tempted to fall into this trap, loving the praise of men more than the praise of God, and thus being led to do what would please men over what pleases God. And that's a specific attitude that hinders repentance, But more generally, what this is an example of is not caring about the right things, not prioritizing properly. This verse here doesn't indicate that it is never appropriate to care about what others think of us, but first and foremost, we must always concern ourselves with what God thinks of us. That's prioritizing properly and caring about the right things. If we fail to do this, we will be led to not repent of our sin when it is in our lives, as God would have us to do. But one last attitude that hinders repentance that we want to consider here this morning is the attitude of procrastination. So often individuals are tempted to look at commands of God and think, well, that's something that I know I need to do, but I'm not ready yet. Sometime down the road, I'll do what God would have me to do, but not yet. Notice something that is said over in 2 Peter chapter 3. In 2 Peter chapter 3, this chapter here talks about the day of judgment. That's the meaning of the day of the Lord in this context. And verse 10 of chapter 3 of 2 Peter says, "The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up." Notice that phrase there, as a thief in the night. God is not going to call and set up an appointment of the specific day and time in which Christ will return to judge the world. He is going to come at a time when none of us can predict, and therefore we need to be ready at all times, instead of procrastinating what we know God would have us to do. And so these are seven specific attitudes, among many others we could consider, that will hinder us from repenting if we are prone to these. We need to make sure we avoid these things, not sweep our sin under the rug, so to speak. We need to make sure we don't minimize sin's severity. We need to make sure we don't focus only on sins of others. We need to make sure that we don't attack the messenger when we hear the truth of God spoken. We need to make sure that we're not too proud to admit when we are wrong. We need to make sure that we care about the right things. And we need to make sure that we don't procrastinate what God would have us to do. Instead of doing any of these things, we need to make sure that we simply repent when there's sin in our lives and do what God requires for forgiveness. If you have any questions about anything that was stated this morning, please don't hesitate to reach out to us. You can contact us at 217-218-0803. Our website is allneechurchofchrist.org. We will conclude our 30-minute lesson here this morning with a hymn from the Favorite Hymns Quartet. Thank you very much for listening, and have a wonderful day.